But today we're going to talk about a subject. We're going to talk about perfect love. Perfect love. We know that perfect love came down from heaven and was born in a manger on Christmas Day. Perfect love. And I'm going to be reading out of the Passion. And you all know this scripture. It's in 1 John 4:18. Talking about perfect love. Love never brings fear. Never. Love never brings fear. For fear is always related to punishment. But love's perfection drives the fear of punishment far from our hearts. Whoever walks constantly afraid of punishment has not reached love's perfection. Our love for others is our grateful response to the love of God that was first demonstrated to us. Verse 20 says, still from the Passion, anyone can say, I love God, yet have hate towards another believer. This makes him a phony. You know, I love how the Passion just tells you as it is, you know, that in the Message translation. Yeah. You say, oh, I love God, and you have hatred towards another. You can't stand this individual, or you hate maybe a fellow believer. The word just plainly says you're a phony. That makes you a phony, because if you don't love a brother or a sister whom you can see, how can you truly love God whom you can't see? For he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also demonstrate that love to others. So in other words, that means our love has to be expressed. It has to be expressed. It's not enough just to say, I love you. Yes, you can tell people we're supposed to express our love with words, but love has to be expressed in other ways. You know, if Jesus, it wasn't enough that Father God sent down Jesus. Jesus could have just said, I love all of you, I love you, and not have laid down his life, not went through the horrific crucifixion that he went through. But yet he displayed and he expressed and he gave him his entire self, laid himself down as to show us his love for mankind, for each and every one of us. It wasn't just spoken in words. Jesus demonstrated love continually, all the time, and it wasn't just verbally. But love has to be expressed. By living in God, love has brought to its fullest expression in us. The Amplified reads in 1 John 4:18, Amplified is also good. It says, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. Do you ever dread something? You know, look, you're not looking forward to it. You're dreading it. Well, that can open a door to fear, dreading something. Years ago, you know, I would dread a lot of things, flying, stepping on an airplane, dreading it. Well, that's just opening up fear to come in. And so we have to close those doors and keep those things. Dread does not exist, the Bible says. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out the doors and expels every trace of terror, of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. You know, you think about that for a while. Fear brings with it the thought of punishment. When you're afraid, when you're fearful, when there's not love residing in your heart, there's that fear of being punished. You've done something wrong. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love and is not yet quite grown into love's complete perfection. Know this, that God is love, simple. Satan is fear. He's a tormented being that continually lives in fear. Can you imagine that type of existence? Wasn't always so when he was the heavenly cherub, but when he got kicked out of heaven for pride and rebellion, he became fear. He is fear. You can almost say I don't want to call him a prince of fear. He's no prince to me. You know, he's a defeated foe. He's a punk. He's a bully. You know, but he is the tormentor and the accuser. God is love, but Satan is fear. So any time that there's fear, hello, what's out there today? What's coming through the media? What's coming through the television every time you turn on the news? Every time you see signs and things around? Every time you see that ridiculous picture of the coronavirus that looks, you know what it looks like? Fear, trying to get fear, dread. Oh, I hope I don't get it. Oh, I'm fearful. I bet. Yeah, that's fear. Nothing but fear. We got to strip off this mask of fear and call it for what it is. It's all fear-related and fear-based. And there's the love of God will repel that and cast that out. Now, yes, we are responsible people. We have the wisdom of God. Jesus said, he instructed the church, be wise as serpents, be gentle as doves. So we're not walking around in rebellion and being defiant of what's out there and what they have told us to do. But you know what, though? I would rather be scripturally correct than politically correct. Amen. Amen. I'll say that again. I would rather be scripturally correct than politically correct. And doing all these, do this, do that, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. It's funny how you can walk into a restaurant. I walked into a restaurant meeting a friend, a girlfriend, and, you know, it was almost just like I came in with bombs and dynamite tape to my, you know, to my person here, you know, with a sweater over Lee. And it's just like, stop, don't go in, you know, where's your mask? And you know, and it was just like they said it so loud to where everybody turned around and looked at me, you know, and I thought, my goodness, you know, do I have to wear one? Because we're there to have a meal. And so they led us to the table, and of course I had to wear a mask. And as soon as you sat down, the mask came off. There's no logic in that. But anyways, it was just like 10 feet from the door to where our table was. So, you know, but there's just so many inconsistencies, you know, in these things that we're being told to. But notice, though, I just was wondering with all that's going on in the world and our government with the election, I'm wondering, you know, we're believing that President Trump will remain in the White House. But yet, you know, if that doesn't happen and Uncle Joe gets in, I'm wondering what kind of sin is going to be on the horizon for legalization. They have already legalized abortion. In some states, abortion is allowed up until the 9th month. Can you believe that? Until a child is 9 months old. That is nothing but murder. That is the slaughter of unborn children. That's murder. And yet, we have it hammered, and it's being across the media and across the world, how your lives are being tried to be protected. We're protecting lives. Be considerate of one another. Distance. Wear a mask. Do this. Don't go out of the house. Lockdown. Lockdown. Lockdowns don't work. And yet, they allow the slaughter and the killing of unborn children. This is totally, ridiculous, absurd. And it goes to that scripture that says, in the end times, good will be evil and evil will seem like good. How can you justify killing a child at 9 months? Yet, and yet... they legalize that. They legalize the marriages of two ladies. Two women can marry, two men. Well, our illustrious government has said you can do that. What's next on the horizon? You know, what's next? And so we as a church, like I said, we pay attention. and honor and listen to what God's word says. You know, that takes precedent, where he says the gathering together, coming to church, the praise and the worshiping. As we said yesterday in our prayer time, intercessory prayer, this house is a house of prayer, but it's also a house of worship. We'll continue to worship. Yeah. And no one's going to come and tell us we cannot stop singing and worshiping and praising God. That goes against his word. We cannot do that. But you know, Satan is a tormented being. And he lives in fear continually. And that's what he wants to offer each and every one of you. Fear, dread. You're all going to die. You know, this virus. No, you're not. Prince of Peace, the healing balm of Gilead, that Jesus is a great physician. We have a healer in the house. And Psalm 91 promises us that no evil, no disease, no plague. People on Facebook listening, no plague will come near your dwelling place. No illness, no virus, no, just to exercise your faith. Yes, be mindful. Do the things that we're supposed to be doing using practical judgments and things. But just know, and some may call it where you're all brainwashed. No, we're not brainwashed. I would rather have Father God do the brainwashing from the Word of God than be brainwashed from all that nonsense that's coming down the pike on the media and all of these things. You know, I was telling the intercessory group yesterday that during the Nazi, when Hitler was in control and when he had the Nazi concentration camps, he would continually play over the loudspeakers for all the prisoners, this propaganda and lies continually, to the point where conditioning them to believe these lies. And after a while, the people started believing them, not all, but Corrie ten Boom, she was of Dutch descent, but she hid and protected the Jews. Well, when they caught her doing that, they arrested her and her family, her sister Betsy, her father, imprisoned them in the concentration camp. And she said that the propaganda and the lies continually drumming into the people, lies about who they were and their destiny and you know, being Jewish descent and how, you know, just on and on. Instilling daily fear into them. But she miraculously, through God, she tore out some pages of scriptures, and the angels just shielded those scriptures from her. When they stripped them all down and she had those scriptures on her, she prayed, she said, Father, when they frisk us, when they check me, just hide those scriptures because this is my life. This is my what I feed on. And miraculously, they did. The angels just hid that from the German officers. But I'm saying all this for this point. My point is that if you listen to lies long enough, you'll start believing it. You will. You'll start believing it. If it's drummed into you continually, so be mindful, have the wisdom of God. He said, we're wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. And you hear things over the media, you hear things, you know, that don't sit right with you. You have the divine teacher, a divine genius on the inside of you. And he'll prompt something on the inside of you. This isn't right. This isn't, no, don't receive that. And certainly don't let fear get in, because fear is torment, and we know its source. It's strictly from the enemy. Yeah, it's strictly from the devil. But the Greek word for love is agape. We all know that. We all heard of that. Agape love is described as a preferential, unconditional love that is chosen and acted out by will. It is not chosen. It is not based on performance or on how you act or even on the goodnesses or on your acts of goodness that we all do. But it's not even based on emotion, but on a benevolent love that always seeks out the good in a person. Earlier, I mentioned that love has to be expressed. And one of the ways love is expressed, well, we've always known this, and this is nothing new, is through human touch. Human touch is a fundamental human need, and it's one of the most powerful responses of love that we can give to one another. It's been proven, tests have been done. They did a test in a hospital where they had infants. And I don't know how many there were, if there were like 20. But in one study, in one test that they did, they had 10 infant babies, loved, coddled, just nurtured, held, kissed, talked to affectionately all the time, every day and the next day. And then the other 20 infants weren't neglected. They were fed, but they weren't held. They weren't coddled. They weren't loved. They weren't held up to the one where they could feel human touch. And they said that their behaviors were so different. They were erratic in their responses. And they said that these children who were neglected or even those that are raised in orphanages who don't experience human love, human touch, where somebody could just kiss them and love them and say, you're loved, or just with, you know, a hand on their face, loving them. They says that psychologically, they were marred. They were cold. They were distant. They didn't know how to respond to people. They were recluses, and on and on and on. But the ones that were loved, the ones that had that, all of that nurturing and that human touch, those were the ones that grew up sound. They were able to return love. Psychologically, they were of a sound mind. They were well balanced, and this was all proven in these many tests. But just like the physical act of a kind and a warm touch, it's also been proven that a touch, you know, when you go up to someone and you just, you know, you just take their hand, you know, I know you're going through something, not that Anel is, but I'm just saying, you know, I know you're going through a hard time, I'm here for you, I support you, you know. But just that human touch, it says studies have proven that it lowers one's blood pressure. Oh, somebody cares. Somebody fought long just to comfort me, just to tell me, you know, that it's going to be okay. I'm here for you. Call me. I love you. It also has been proven that it releases a hormone called oxytocin. And that there's a medical term for that. This hormone is actually called the love hormone. Isn't that something? When he fearfully and wonderfully made us, boy, I tell you, he even included a love hormone to help us. You know, it's a chemical hormone, not just in women. No, because, you know, when you guys hear hormones, you think, ah, oh, it's them. Oh, yeah, it's the ladies. You know, they get real, you know. Yeah, but men are on an even keel. No, you men got hormones too, and you all have love hormones, you know. Remember I told you that story, true story, about that man in Kansas that he committed, robbed a bank. And meanwhile, he had a house. He had some finances in the bank. He didn't need the money. But when he stood before the judge, and the judge looked at his record, he said, tell me, he said, before I sentence you, I can't understand. Why would you rob a bank? You have an IRA. Your wife and you seem to be pretty well, off. You don't have any bills. You got a car. You got a pretty nice, decent-sized house. And he replied to the judge. He says, I did it to get away from my wife. You know? Yeah. That man needed a super dose of oxytocin, you know, the love hormone. And true story, I'm not making this up. This was in Kansas City. And so, talking about wise judges, oh my, you know what the judge ordered him to? 5 years of house arrest. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, but this love hormone that is called oxytocin, yeah, it also helps nurture feelings of trust and reduces the stress hormone, cortisol, in one's body. We all know about that, you know. A lot of people go to doctors and have to get prescriptions to lower their stress level, their stress hormones, that cortisol, get the levels down. There's a test that they give to determine just what your levels are of cortisol. And some people's are super high. Do you know that love, just a human touch, just a hug? Can you imagine living your life without interacting with people, without hugging, without touching, without expressing love? Are you connecting the dots as to what's happening today? Are you connecting the dots on social distancing, 6 feet, stay away, you know, isolating? Families cannot get, they're saying, don't get together for the, you know, for the major holidays. Distance. Yes, we know we have to take precautions, but you see, as far as the isolation and how they want to just stop the interaction and the showing the love to one another, got to be mindful of that and watch for these things, you know, because the enemy is slowly weaving his web through this and using this virus thing to set up his agenda, his platform, to where, you know, people are cold, insensitive, indifferent to one another. You know, I've seen even Christians and believers just, you know, distance from one another, you know, don't want to greet one another. Well, they might have COVID. Oh, come on, you know. And yet, God's saying, though, that love has to be expressed. It has to be expressed. But this love hormone, oxytocin, yeah, lowers the blood pressure and also lowers that hormone called cortisol. It also, oxytocin is a natural hormone in our body that's linked to warm, fuzzy feelings, and it has been proven to lower stress and anxiety. And it even affects your memories. We all love those, you know, especially during the holidays, those warm, fuzzy feelings, things that make us just feel safe, things that make us just feel secure, and, you know, some people call that their happy place. Well, that's all with this hormone that God placed in our body. This hormone has the power to regulate our emotions and our social responses, positive memories, processing and bonding with individuals in positive communication. That's why so many people like to, you know, when they fall in love. Remember when you fell in love? Wasn't that just that euphoric high you felt like you were on all the time? Well, that was that oxytocin, that love hormone. You just, you know, you're in love. That's why so many people, not just women, men too, love to that feeling that love produces when you're in love. You're just almost on a high. It gives you that euphoric feeling. You know, some of you are looking like, come on, it hasn't been that long, guys, women, you know. Some of you ones have been married for a long time. Remember what it felt like to fall in love with her or with him when you're all googly eyes and just couldn't wait to be with them. You'd call in sick, call in well, just to spend the day with them and go do your favorite thing. But that's that love. That's that hormone, that feel-good feeling that is being produced in us. The Bible talks about in these end times in Matthew 24:12, and you can turn there if you want. It says that the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. Yeah, there is, yeah, the love. The love of the great body of people. We must never lose that, especially in this church. This church has been known, you know, has a reputation for loving, not just forgiving, but for loving people. And we can't stop doing that. We can't stop expressing the love of the Father, no matter what, no matter what. In the Passion translation in Matthew 24, 12 says, "There will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow wax cold." So when you think about that, and the church ought to be red hot, red on fire, not being suspicious, not being set back, you know, or just being guarded from one another. We're all believers. We're all sons and daughters. And yet it seems like this, the love, and Jesus said right there, we just read it, that in these end times, the love of many will just be quenched. It will be like a cold bucket of water was poured out on them. People being indifferent. And the enemy is using COVID as his platform to accomplish this. And we cannot let it happen. As we said yesterday, we have to start pushing back against the powers of darkness and against his agenda. And just obey what God's already told us, you know, to do through and in his word. Yeah, that there will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness. Well, we're seeing that already. Yeah, we're seeing that already. And because of that, our affections are alienated and withheld from people because of fear. It is. It has nothing to do with safety, really, when you think about it. It's all fear. Let's just really take this mask of fear off and reveal and expose it for what it really is. Because Satan is fear. He definitely is fear. If people are afraid, it's because of something in their past that may haunt them, or something in the present that upsets them, or maybe something in the future that they feel threatened by, or it could be maybe all three of these things. But a believer in Jesus Christ doesn't have to fear the past, the present, or the future. We don't have to fear what's on the horizon. When you hear of word of a second strain, third strain, of all this, be at peace. Don't fear. Don't fear. Perfect love will cast all that out, the love of God within you. Yeah. Don't dread the days to come. Don't dread 2021. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious for us, for the church. And hopefully it would be for the world. But it seems like they're just all in hostage with this dread and fear of what's to come, of what's going on there. We're people that are to love and to be free and to express this love. A believer in Jesus Christ doesn't have to fear any of these things, for we have experienced love himself, which is being perfected in us day by day. Now, we haven't arrived. We're all being perfected in it to maturity day by day. We grow in this. This is one of the fruits of the Spirit, the love of God. But doesn't the Bible say that out of all of the fruits, which is most precious, which is most in the forefront, is love. Is love. Not faith, not hope, but it's love. It's love. I want to read something from you. Out of the Passion, 1 Corinthians, on love, the 13th chapter. It says, in the Passion, love is large and incredibly, incredibly patient. Love is gentle. As I'm reading this, you can actually call this the love test. So just do maybe a check and say, ooh, if you're impatient, I need more love. Because this is a good gauge as to where you are in your love levels. with those around you, your family, even yourself, loving yourself, loving God too. So it says again, love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Ooh, that's a big one, huh? It refuses, love refuses to get jealous when you see the other person being promoted, when the other person pulls up in the parking lot with a brand new car, you know, when they get the deed to their home and they move in. But I've been praying to God for, you know, 5-6 years for our home. You know, bless God. Yeah, be happy for others and it'll happen to you. It'll happen for you too. Rejoice. Yeah, love rejoices when another person gets blessed. Love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflates its own importance. You don't bow up because of what you've accomplished. I did this, I did that. You know, I got promoted. Well, we always give our glory to God. God gave me the strength in order to get this promotion. God placed me here. God gave me the wisdom. God gave me such favor with my bosses. They turned the business over to me. You know, we'll always be careful to give God the glory and not boast and brag on what we've done and how we've made things happen. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. In other words, love doesn't toot its own horn, doesn't sound off its own trumpet. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Aha, good for you. You deserve that. No, that's not love. Love doesn't retaliate or chuckle or be glad when someone gets mistreated or when something bad happens to a person. Love doesn't rejoice over these things, no matter whether they've done you wrong or not, whether they've been kind to you or not. The love of God then hasn't fully been matured in you yet. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat. That's a good one. Love never takes failure. You know, you got to take failure. You got to receive it. It says, you never take failure. I'm a failure. Growing up, I never accomplished. My teachers, my parents always put me down. I was always compared to my elder brother or sister. Love never does that. You're not a failure, and you never, love will not let you give up. And we should never let a fellow believer give up either. Love will rescue them, pull them out of that. Call someone up that is down, that's going through a hard time, that maybe is depressed. And say, I'm not going to let you quit. We're running arm to arm. Remember, we're linking up together in this. And we never, never give up on an individual, whether they created their own mess or not. And half the times we do. We make our own messes, and then that condemnation comes on us and keeps hammering, pounding on us. But love always lifts up. Love always encourages. God will always see the best, the absolute best in you when you're at your very worst. God always sees that in you. He sees the treasure. He sees that which he placed in you that he values. He sees the anointing, Jesus living on the inside of you. Can I tell you something? That Father God loves you at the same as he loves his son. The same, not less, not a stepchild, the same that when he sees you, Carolyn, yeah, he sees his son Jesus and loves you just the same, just the same, just the same amount. That's awesome. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. And love never stops loving. Never, never stops loving. Would you bow your heads? Love never stops loving. All these things may fade away, but you could even give, be one of the greatest givers. But if your motive isn't regulated by just sheer love, then little is going to be your reward. Perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has torment. We all know in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God didn't give us that spirit of fear, even though that spirit is in the earth today, moving upon whoever they can entrap, whoever will step into that trap of fear, of torment, of anxiety and worry. But love, perfect love, is the repellent. For God's not given us that spirit. That spirit belongs to Satan. But he's given us that spirit of power, the power of the Holy Ghost. He's given us a sound mind to discern, to have the wisdom of God in situations. And he's given us love, the love of God. Pure love, love himself, came down from heaven in a manger and was born to eradicate and to destroy all fear, all fear. With your head bowed, with your heads all bowed. He ta da 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 da. He ti ya ta da 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 da. He da 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 da. He ti ya ta. But anyone that is here who is experiencing fear of the unknown, just fear. You know, sometimes fear can just grip you and it's hard to shake it off. It really is. It's hard to shake it off. You know, you're praying, you're quoting scriptures, but yet it leaves and then it'll come back. But fear brings with it torment. And anyone here that's experienced fear or may have fear of whatever sorts, there's a million things we could think of that we can be fearful of. There's all types. But yet God wants us free from this spirit. Not to come back tomorrow or next week or next month, but perfect love, who is Christ himself, drives out, repels, casts out all fear. Well, I'm okay. It was just last week I was feeling a little bit, you know, fearful. Well, how about let's shut that door completely to fear? And if that's anyone here, I'd be asking you to come down to the front.